morning, folks. Welcome back to the Drive Time Friday Show. We got a special treat this morning. Daniel Holdings is back with us.
It's been a hiatus of several years since we've talked to Daniel on this show. So good morning, Daniel. And I got David Justice as well. So let me say good morning first. Daniel, how are you doing? It's been a while.
I am doing good, brother. Thank you for having me on. Audience, it's good to talk to you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and it's great. And for those that don't know, I'm sure probably people have been following your illustrious career. Daniel has done some more books since the last time he was here on Heber Nation. In addition to the ones that he already had, and he has signed on, done some movies, and done quite a bit of work with Steve Quayle of late. And I guess that continues. And there's a whole lot on your plate. So we're thankful to just have a little slice of time here on a Friday morning.
Well, you know, my writing career began pretty much at Heber Nation, or my radio career, I should say, began at Heber Nation. Remember the show Shebrews? Probably about 12 or 13 years ago, they got a hold of one of my books when I started writing, and they wanted to have me on. And I was like, what, you want me on the radio? I said, yeah. So my first cutting of the teeth, if you will, was on Heber Nation Radio way back when. Way back when. So it's, and then, you know, I became the general radio program and on the radio station. I was on probably three or four shows a week, and I just, you know, it is very, very strange to be back here, but I have fond memories of being on Heber Nation Radio, and it's an honor to be with you, Mark, and you, David, and you, audience, because it is where I started, so it's good to be here.
Great. Well, and let me say good morning to David, and he has been on with us now for several years, and it's great to have three of us back on a roundtable again this morning. David, anything on your plate that you want to start us off with today? There's a whole lot of stuff, especially since we've got Daniel on, that we want to talk about, but let me at least pitch it over to you and see if there's anything that's hot that you want to make sure we talk about right up front. There we go.
Good morning, men, and the thing that I find most interesting this week is Adam Schiff got censored.
It's about time.
Today, yeah. He gets a tongue lashing from Speaker McCarthy.
But I'd like to talk about things that advance our side and diminish their side rather than elevate their side.
Okay, let's do that. I guess we ought to start with the top of the heap. World War III news. There were some missiles. Evidently, they looked like British missiles that hit in the Crimea area. Took out some smaller bridges. They haven't yet hit the Kerch Strait Bridge, but certainly looks like that's the intent. Russia has warned against it, and I think if they finally do hit that bridge, it might very well be a bridge too far. Daniel, any comment on anything happening in the entire world war front?
Well, Mark, there is nothing happening in the world. I don't know. You guys are alarmists. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny that you mentioned this, because it's something that I am tracking very, very closely. And, you know, both Putin and Lavrov, who is actually his foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, has said that if British, those are called, I want to say they're British Storm Trooper. I could be wrong.
Let's see.
But British Storm
me,
something missiles.
Yeah.
And if he said that if they were used against Crimea, it would be an act of war by NATO, and that Russia would come after us for that, after NATO, which in turn, you know, would invoke Article 5, and we would be drawn into that conflict. Now, the interesting thing is that not only were the British missiles used, but at last night, Russia had launched a huge contingent of bombers because of this action. And I haven't heard this morning if they were bombing Kiev, but they are spitting mad. I mean, they are so angry. But in addition to that, today is the last day, Mark, of David, of Air Defender 23.
Right.
Now, I'm a veteran, and I can tell you from Air Force veteran, and I can tell you from my own experience that oftentimes an exercise is used to position and set up for actual conflict. And if today is the last day of that exercise, then we better watch out. In addition to that, Ukraine and Belize has stated that they have begun a draft of Belarus, I should say. They have begun a draft of all adult males, able 18 to 65,
yep,
that are able fighting. So things are I think really accelerating on the World War III front. But that's just my two cents.
Well, and let me just add, I certainly agree with you. That Air Defense 2023 exercise, you're right. So many times an exercise is used as a stepping stone. It's also true that today's Friday, and we know what happens at about 5 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. That is, the press shuts down. Honestly, Daniel, if I was to expect something nasty to happen, it'd be at about 5:01 p.m. Eastern time on a Friday afternoon, once they decide to turn off the lights at the so-called news for the weekend. And by the way, it was a storm shadow, you're right, that's close, that hit in Crimean territory. A couple smaller bridges, but we'll see if that escalates. And Russia has announced that if it happens, that they would attack, they would feel justified in striking the so-called decision centers. And not only has essentially, Ukraine has announced that the command to use those storm shadow missiles against Crimea, or at least very, very near Crimea, you know, close but no cigar, came from London. So all of the things are coming together on that front. David, do you have any comment? And we'll widen the scope here.
No, you guys go right ahead. It's obvious to me that I will comment. Lest we forget, this isn't a war between two sovereign nations that are vying for position. This is a war that instigated by a criminal gang that wants to take control of the planet, and they're using this as a ruse to get us to keep our eyes off the real enemy. And so, lest we lose our focus, let's remember that the momentum of the people that have been in control has shifted, and that's what makes this whole circumstance scary for me, is to know how desperate they are and how far they're willing to go to cover their crimes.
Absolutely.
And so if we can always keep that in the background and know that that's what's going on, this isn't America's war. This is a criminal war being fought by people that want to remain in the shadows and hidden. But I think their time is up, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's widen the scope just a bit. Daniel, the occasion you and I had earlier to talk in the week, and I don't know how much we want to say about this, because I'm not sure how much new information has come out, but certainly there were all kinds of reports. There were videos online. There were, I guess you'd say, unconfirmed reports, certainly people that had eyewitness reports of various kinds of troop movements. Now, that happens relatively frequently, but this seemed to have been up a couple of notches from what we were seeing. There was obviously a lot of concern about that, especially given that nobody trusts the Biden Fuhrer, nobody that has paid any attention anyway. And it's not like they're moving troops to the southern border. They're moving troops within the United States, and they, given what we know about the Biden Fuhrer and those that are in command, looks like it's more of an attempt to use American troops against real Americans than it is to stop an invasion of the country. I'll throw out one more thing, then I'll turn it over to you, Daniel. There was a big raid last weekend by IRS, how's that for irony, and ATF agents against the biggest online firearms mall, at least that's what they claim, in the country. And it's called the Great Falls gun store. They go by the name of the Highwood Creek Outfitters. And essentially what they did was they stole a bunch of the 4337 forms, or is it 4437? Anyway, the unconstitutional, let's see if you peons are allowed to buy a gun forms that they make all the slaves sign, 4473s. Before they're allowed to have something which has been infringed all to pieces. So all of that basically, I guess I'd say, raises eyebrows, if nothing else. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, as of yesterday, I think it was yesterday that I saw this, there were 27 cities that had been reported to have military, and these are big cities, that had reported to have military presence within the city. I'm talking armor or aircraft or troops themselves. So it seems as if that there is a pre-positioning going on. And yes, Mark, you're right. And I was shocked because I was actually stationed in Great Falls at the missile base there up in Montana. They did in fact go in there, guns a-blazing, and you know, requisitioned, I should say, those forms, which you're right is unconstitutional. But back to David's point a second ago, something has, how can I say this? I have the distinct feeling that something has happened. A button has been pushed, a trigger has been pulled. And the WEF and the globalists have went insane, and they said, "Whatever it takes, let's get this done." And David's absolutely right. It's funny. I just had the impression of an orchestra, and you know, as someone that is playing a violin in an orchestra, you are very cognizant about performance. And so you make sure that you are focused on that and that you're hitting all the chords right and that, you know, you use your bow right and all that other stuff. But you are part of a much bigger, rendition of a song, and, it makes, music. Hopefully beautiful music. In the case of the WEF and the globalists, it is ugly music. And when we look at instances like the Great Falls raid, or like the prepositioning of troops on the streets of America, or like the financial collapse, or like, you know, Xi out of China proposing a two-state solution for Palestine yesterday, then you know that this is all part of a larger piece, a larger musical rendition, a larger orchestra, you know,
yeah,
program that is going on. And I just can't help but feel that something is
up. Well, you know,
something.
As you were talking, Daniel, I'm remembering the famous line from Yogi Berra and his comment about, you know, the opera ain't over until the fat lady sings. And in fact, the fat lady is at least out there in the wings. You can hear her warming up, and we'll see how all this plays out. But David mentioned one thing. You had the guy that I refer to as the shiftless one, or Adam Schiff for brains, you know, probably one of the most disreputable scumbags in a place where disreputable scumbags are the rule, and that would be Congress. But Congress has finally decided to censure him. You know, what took so long? Meanwhile, Lauren Boebert has been trying to expedite some articles of impeachment against the Biden Fuhrer. And famously, McCarthy yesterday said, oh, hey, it's not time to impeach him yet. We certainly don't want to blow our majority, you know, and risk our position of being able to do nothing and block any actual action. And my reaction when I saw McCarthy's comments behind closed doors was, what's it going to take, right? How many crimes does he have to commit? Murder isn't enough, and child slavery isn't enough, and bribery and open treason isn't enough. Kind of makes you wonder what they're waiting looking for. But anyway, there are a lot of indications that the fat lady is definitely on stage. And I'll turn it back over to David, because the other thing that happened on the congressional front was John Durham testified, and it was a little bit blunt, but honestly, he didn't get around to some of the important questions. And even Matt Taibbi pointed out, former FBI Director Comey and Deputy Director McCabe, along with people like Peter Strzok, they were allowed to refuse to cooperate with the probe, such as it was. And ultimately, even though he said some really nasty things about the scumbags at the FBI, like they obstructed justice and didn't do their job and had no basis, no legal basis, for all of the actions that he took against the duly elected president on behalf of the political hacks, nothing was done. Go ahead, David. There's a lot of dots there to connect.
If you start pulling the thread for treason, you know, we can pull that thread all the way back to the Civil War. There's it grows so deep and it's so prevalent that I don't pray prayers to support these guys. I pray precatory prayers for their demise. We will win. We are winning. We will win. And exposure is the primary thing, because truth has to be reestablished. Our language has been corrupted. Our thoughts have been corrupted. You know, it's not brainwashing. We've been hypnotized as a nation. And if you've studied the principles of hypnosis, if anybody has, which I encourage everybody to, it makes sense. So,
a Stockholm syndrome on a national level,
and even a world, into accepting abomination in the place of truth. The way we're going to win this thing is we're going to promote truth, and that's why I like being on the show with you, Mark. Is, you know, truth is going to be the first. The truth is always the first casualty of war. So it has to be the first thing to be established in a war, and this is a battle for truth. That Schiff just got spanked, that Durham just came out and stated the most recent treason, and, you know, the FISA warrants, you know, those are going to be looked at now. And I think FISA will be the beginning of the undoing the thing has been so infiltrated, but it's my belief and it's my hope and trust enough. There's enough people that are pushing for the truth. And Durham, you got to admit, he's a stellar example of someone just pushing for the truth. This thing with Schiff, I think, is huge. That McCarthy's going to give him a tongue lashing. I look forward to
that's
that
all.
The truth is coming out. I think the truth is about to become trendy. And as it becomes more trendy, more people will be fed by it. And I think this is what's going to constitute the unraveling of this thing. And I think that's why they're not going to win, because the truth ultimately will have its way, Mark.
Okay. Daniel, what I want to do in just a second is get around to some of the economic stuff, because I do think that as we're kind of laying the groundwork here between Durham and testimony and Hunter Biden, and we didn't even talk about the Hunterpocracy that we're seeing. You know, one law for you, we will nail you to the wall if you so much as make a mistake on a 4473 form. But on the other hand, he can lie, he can cheat, he can have a sex club and deduct it from his taxes. He can commit felony after felony. They're not even talking about bribery and influence peddling and international treason. And he can skate. So David is right. People are finally waking up to it, and they're sick and tired of it. But when we connect the bigger dots, I can't help but think there's an economic collapse that is literally going to be the real trigger, even though that's not going to appear to be what we see. Go ahead.
Well, Mark, perhaps you know this verse out of the Bible. It says, I think it's out of Kings, it might be out of Judges, that there was no king in the land and everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
It's in Joshua.
Well, we've seen,
and it's in Judges,
in
and it actually appears in several places.
World.
Yeah. That everyone did what is right in his own eyes appears more than once, as a matter of fact. Go ahead.
That is. What we see in America and we see in the world is people walking away from Jehovah. People are walking away from Yeshua. And I want to believe, David, that I want to. I want, brother, please, I want to. I want to believe that this is turning a corner. But, you know, Yeshua talks about in Matthew 24 that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And then he lists all of this stuff. And then he says, but this is only the beginning of tribulation. The beginning. When you have a populace that turns their back on the creator of all things, that does not bode well for a country or the world. And that is exactly what has happened in our country and the world. I just, yesterday, I came across an article. It talked about how the churches, and you know, we could talk about all the churches were empty a long time ago, but the churches are empty. Exactly. But the churches are empty in Europe, and they are using them for, you know, bars and discos now, you know. But you know, Yeshua also talks about the demoniac act that it's empty, that he brings you know, some more demons with him. That's where we are. So when you see stuff like Schiff, although I wish they would have slapped him a long time ago, I think it's just political theater. I really do. I because I don't think that stuff really matters. And I think it's a distraction to the larger. Let me give you a good example of distraction, right? There was this, all this talk for the last few days about this submersible submarine.
I know where you're going. Yep, exactly.
And how it was lost. And how and how it was lost, and how they couldn't contact them, and there was all this speculation about how, you know, how much air they had. Well, it comes out today that submarine had imploded days ago, and that the Navy knew it, and that Biden and his henchmen knew it, and they only let the news cycle run as a distraction from their greater crimes. Now, so, well, I want to believe that things are turning a corner. I am, and I'm telling you guys, my finger is on the pulse of what is going on these days. We have a lot of contacts, and I follow the news very closely. It is not the case. What we are seeing is a world that is in rebellion to the creator of the universe. And he is, I'm telling you, the Father is fed up with what is going on. You cannot have child sacrifice, and you cannot have outright rebellion against the Father and not have judgment fall. And that is what Revelation talks about. The whole book of Revelation talks about judgment. He's fed up. And so I think that's where we are. And so when you see the evil acts of evil men, they are just pieces of the puzzle of that judgment. And I try not to get caught up in the political aspect of things, because I think it's just – I think it's fodder for the news. I think it's a distraction to what's really going on.
All right.
But that's just me.
Well, no, I completely agree, Daniel. As a matter of fact, all week long they've been doing this. I hadn't said word one about the sub. I did hear some commentary from a number of people, with the engineer then the whistleblower coming forward and saying this thing was literally doomed to failure. They were ignoring safety specs. The plexiglass viewport wasn't specced to about the third of the depth that they were operating it at. In other words, they were way, way outside safety parameters. The guy who died on board the sub, that was the head honcho, and arguably got what he deserved. I hate to say it that way, but he was the one who said, we cut corners here, essentially. And now there's this headline. Then we'll go to break. We're a little bit late, but what the heck? You know, we started late anyway. Zero Hedge has even come out and asked, was this a distraction? Two IRS whistleblowers went public with more damning information and implicating the Biden regime in a scheme to bury the evidence, and they did, of Hunter's various crimes, even the tax crimes, the slap on the wrist stuff, as well as the revelation that Joe Biden was in the room when Hunter shot a threatening message to a Chinese business associate demanding payment, and it's being called the biggest political scandal this country has seen yet. And yet, What are we hearing? Right? Okay, we're gonna indict a former president. That'll make the news. But as far as the Titanic crew, oh, that's what's really important. Even though it turns out that the Navy knew that the sub had imploded long before, hours probably, before the admission was even made that the thing was missing. It was 8 hours, remember, after it, they'd lost contact. It was 8 full hours before they actually come up and admitted it and said, oh, let's launch a rescue mission. Why are we going to do that? Well, because we got some stuff to hide. Anyway, we're at the break. Let's pause, and that won't be long. We'll be right back.
Did you write the book of love?
All right, we are back, folks. Had a late start today because of some technical issues with the usual product problems, Microsoft and Skype and so forth. But we are on the air. Got a special treat. We have Daniel Holdings with us. Regular listeners will remember him from way back, including once upon a time, several years back, as a co-host of this show. We got David Justice as well. And as we went to break, we were basically laying out a number of things on a whole bunch of fronts, from World War III to the Biden-Fuhrer crimes and the cover-ups and the Hunter-pocracies and the finally, at least, the censuring of Adam Schiff-less, even though there probably won't be anything more. The abortive and so far completely stymied attempt to do what should have been done before he was even allowed to put his hand on a Bible and lie. And I'm talking about the guy that wasn't elected. He and his body doubles. Biden himself, his only real qualification for the office besides senility and being a good puppet is that he doesn't remember at this point where all the bribes that he took came from. Anyway, all that on the table, this is where I really wanted to go. And, Daniel, I'll go to you on this one because I wanted to take advantage of your expertise. Certainly you and I have long talked about the economic meltdown. You know, we're well into the time frame when the almighty fiat dollar is past its shelf life, and that is coming. There's some stuff out of the World Economic Forum and the BRICS nations and so forth, all essentially pointing in the same direction. The dollar is long in the tooth. Macron is wanting to attend a BRICS meeting. Is it because France is going to jump ship, or just that they know that there's a better communist tool out there for them? Anyway, so many things coming to a head here. I've got a story I want to throw out in a second, but I want to let you kick us off on economics. I can't help but think that as we see all these other things coming to a head, it will be the economics behind the scenes that really drive the timing of this. Go ahead.
Well, Mark, I think you're right. I mean, if you want to know what's going on in the world, you follow the money. I think it was Rush Limbaugh that said that, follow the money. And certainly that's what we were seeing as of last week, I think it was. There are 127 countries that have denounced the dollar, that have turned away from the dollar. And there are purportedly 142 countries that will stop using the dollar all on the same day, which would mean the demise of the dollar, the death of the dollar. Now, when you add to that the fact that the last time, well, maybe not the last time, but 2 months ago, when the Treasury went out to sell their 10-year notes, there were no takers. No one wanted the dollar. No one was willing to buy the debt of the United States. I suspect the Fed bought their own debt. So if you have a currency, then that you cannot support with anything tangible, then that currency cannot stand. And certainly you're right. The dollar's been long in the tooth. It's, as far as a fiat currency, it is probably the longest standing currency in history. some 70 plus years, and it is about to go by the wayside. In addition to that, you have BRICS that now have several countries signing on to the trade pact and that are willing to do transactions in the yuan or Russian currency,
rubles.
So we are experiencing a melt. Rubles. There you go. That is now, by the way, backed by gold. So a couple of currencies that are much more stable than ours. So we are on the tail end of what is happening with the dollar, and of course the consequences of that to American citizens will be devastating. I mean, it will be devastating. We will see a depression, unlike the Great Depression. It'll be worse than the Great Depression, but with the demise of the U.S. dollar, we will see a depression worldwide. And I think that, again, these things tie into one another. I think that's why you are seeing the emphasis on World War III that is going on today, because they need a really good distraction, and World War is a pretty good distraction. Go ahead, guys.
Well, absolutely. And let me toss out a couple more elements on that puzzle. One of them, of course, is gold and silver. Both of us have watched the so-called precious metals. I refer to them as the paper precious metals, because the Crimex or COMEX markets, the crooked casinos, have been manipulated. I've been doing radio for over 20 years and talking about it for every bit that long. They sell papers, contracts in the futures market in order to drive down the price. The key, and everybody knows this that's paid any attention to these markets, the gold that's been sold cannot be delivered. As a matter of fact, it's way, way oversubscribed. They sold many, many more times, and the numbers vary over the months, but ultimately, the cupboard is bare. It cannot be delivered. The same thing is true for silver, 10 times or more. There are ratio trades. You look at the ratio between gold and silver and see how they're being manipulated. But one of the things that interests me, Daniel, is in the last week or two, after some moves, gold recently broke out and it was above $2,000 an ounce. Now there has been a lot of hammering on that front, and it's almost like somebody knows what's going to happen. They have driven gold below $2,000 an ounce again. Silver, which was way up there, especially when it came to the premiums for the real stuff. In other words, you say the paper price of silver might have been $25 for a non-deliverable ounce, but you were going to pay $10 an ounce more to try to get it in your hot little hands. Well, now the paper price has been driven down to below $23 an ounce just in the last few days. Honestly, when I see that, Daniel, I can't help but think they know what's coming, and they're trying to prefix the paper market so that there's more room when the explosion comes, and maybe they can contain it. It's kind of like putting a hole in the tank when you see the pressure building in advance. And that is just one of the indicators, I think. It's going to be an after the fact. In other words, I don't think we'll see gold and silver actually explode until after it's clear why they should have exploded before. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, Steve Quayle has a saying, because, he sells through Renaissance Precious Metals. He sells gold and silver, and he has a saying: if you don't hold it, you don't own it, or something like that.
Yep.
Meaning that if you're not holding physical metals, then good luck with that paper. That will be worth nothing. And you're absolutely right; it is oversubscribed, severely oversubscribed. But I wonder, Mark, if they're not driving the price down because they know what's coming and they want to swoop it up at a lower price. But the availability of gold and silver is diminishing like crazy. When I talk to Steve about such things, and I'm not involved in his business as far as that goes, but when I talked about that, he says, Daniel, it is so hard to get gold and silver. He said, we can still get it, but the premiums are huge. I mean, it is really expensive, much more expensive than the spot price, and that's because the availability of it is so low right now. So I think you're right. I think this is an indicator of what is coming. The market is on paper is artificial, and they are driving down the price in order to swoop it up when the time comes. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And of course, the other thing is just to simply try to avoid people figuring out that they've been had for as long as possible. And all of this comes together. We're seeing so many things. I guess that's the bigger point here on so many fronts, political, economic, social. You know, we didn't even talk about the transgender idiocy. That's just plain psychosis when you're doing what they're doing to kids and saying, hey, parents, you can't stop us. We're going to groom your kids. We're going to cut off their willies and their breasts. And ha ha, how can you stop us? We're going to do it anyway. I mean, this is beyond insane. So people are distracted with, hey, they're going to come and kill my kids. Biden wants to take my guns. They are trying to push World War III. And, you know, I'm supposed to worry about the fact that my dollar is going to be worthless here in a few months. I guess that's all part and parcel of the same equation. Let me throw one other story out, and I'll go first to David on this one, but I do want to hear your comments too, Daniel. I, as a guy who's out in rural America, and I look and I say, okay, I always have encouraged people, probably the most useful piece of equipment, if you have some land and you wanted to be able to do a lot of work post-apocalypse, would be an older diesel backhoe, something that would do the work of 50 men. And it's not just backhoes that have exploded in price, but I saw a piece, this is from Zero Hedge, just yesterday. The cost of farm equipment continues to soar. And no, it's not fancy new tractors and combines with all the bells and whistles, GPS, automation, AI control, remote operation sensors. No. The reason seems to be that the market is really hot in the used tractors, and guess what? Maybe it's supply chain issues. People can't get the chips. But just maybe there are a whole lot of farmers, and, hey, I think this is the real reason. Zero Hedge is at least saying it's a possibility. I talk to people that know that's the real reason. John Deere, some of the big manufacturers, have equipped all their newest tractors with sophisticated technology. As a matter of fact, it tracks the parts. You can't replace a headlight on these things without a dealer having his hand in your till. Used to be farmers could break something in the field. They come in, they weld it up, and they say, okay, I'll have to turn a new piece on my lathe, but I can fix my tractor and get it back out there before the rain comes. No more. And they've got all this equipment and all the pieces, parts that essentially communicate with Big Brother and say, hey, John Deere, he wants to install a non-certified part. Uh-oh, well, we'll just shut this sucker down. It won't start. So farmers are saying, you know, the hell with that. I want an older tractor, and I want something I can fix. And there's a debate in the farming community about right to repair. Well, but anyway, here's the key. A large farm equipment was up 13% year over year in June. That's right up there with inflation or beyond. Small farm equipment up dramatically, and there was a 42% plus jump in the price of combines on the used market. So essentially, there's a whole lot of indicators. This is the reason why I think, you know, people that don't have farms ought to be paying attention. There are indicators in things that are going to be impossible to get, or at least repair, given what the farmers know is coming, that are telling us exactly what's going on. All right, let's go to you first, David, and then back to Daniel.
Well, there's so much here. I'm going to jump in with this. They have a monopoly over reality. They are in control of a delusion. They are operating inside of a propaganda lie that has been established to control everything. The latest John Deere tractors, whatever, AI, whatever. This is the result of the culmination of buying into lies, buying into a language that is not true. Now, the scripture tells us that it's our Father that sends the delusion, so that the people that refuse to love the truth will buy into the lie. And so that's exactly what's happening. What's happening is not just about, and Daniel, with respectfully, and I know you know this, but I need to correct you on something, and you'll appreciate this. It's not the dollar that people aren't buying into. It's the Federal Reserve note. It's the private currency system that is falling, not the dollar. The dollar, that's what it says on a Federal Reserve note. That's a measure of value. But the notes are IOUs. And the other nations...
Well, they call that confidence, right?
And, yeah.
Because I was in the industry for years. That's why Mark diverted me. It's called confidence. It's a confidence in the dollar that the U.S. would back their note. You're absolutely right. It's a debt instrument.
Full faith and credit.
Okay, yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah. So that confidence, and thank you for that word. That's exactly the right word. People are losing confidence in the money monopoly that has control of the world. Okay. So, you know, and you can only be told a lie so many times before you finally realize you've been conned. The question is the character and strength of the individual being conned. Can he own it and then work through the denial and the grief and the anger that comes through the realization? And that's what the other countries, that's what I see them doing. And this is my narrative. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's true. They've just done being conned. And being conned is the standard that prompts that is a desire to know the truth. Now, if we look at Yahweh and Yeshua, and we know that their entire kingdom is about truth. It's not about a false reality. It's not about a delusion. So we're living in a time where truth is, it's like the pendulum finally swinging back. People are tired of the delusion, which is great because that the immediate reaction is, will someone just tell me the truth? And so when we reach that place, then we can start having conversations about their money monopoly and how their deep pockets give them the power to raise and lower prices, and it's inside this private monetary system. And that's what is, we're looking at the end of that, and that's what you were saying, Daniel, and I completely agree with it, but understanding that it's a system of control, their private money monopoly, give me control of a nation's currency and I don't care who makes the laws. Well, they've had a global control over a global cash flow that all hinged on the Federal Reserve note, which has been called the dollar deceptively. That's coming to an end. That's why Schiff lied. That's why they did the illegal FISA warrants. They were attempting to undermine Trump's desire to expose all this to the people of America first and ultimately to the world. That's the crux of why Schiff lied. That's the crux of why we're on the verge of a shooting war, because they're trying to hang on to something which is delusionary, when a lot of people are finally waking up and getting tired of being lied to. So that's the ultimate war, and it's, you know, it's even scriptural. I think this war has gone on for a long time. The battle is not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, for the tearing down of strongholds and taking into captivity every vain imagination that our minds are filled with because of their propaganda, because of their hypnosis, because of their money monopoly that gives them the power to do anything they want, anytime they want, to anyone they want. That's been the world that we're living in, and that's what people are getting tired of. And thank God we finally arrived at this place, because I was beginning to wonder whether it would ever actually happen, Mark.
Okay, well, let me throw one other story. I'll go back to Daniel, because we're seeing this on so many fronts. Here's another one that's coming from a smaller website, new regional banking crisis, because smaller regional banks are trying to unload commercial real estate loans. They know that it's coming apart at the seams. Commercial real estate is imploding. They're trying to get out, and another crisis, surprise, surprise, seems to be unraveling right now. CRE loans, commercial real estate, all they do is hope to sell at a loss and escape without being devastated. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, I remember when I was in the financial industry, had my own practice, and I read a book. Note to self, don't read a book like this when you're in the financial industry. It was called The Creature from Jekyll Island by yep. G. Edward Griffin. And it really opened my eyes about the money system, because as a trader, as an investor, I called myself a wealth manager. You know, you deal with investments, and you're not really looking at the basis for the money system. So this book really opened my eyes. when it about that, it was that the whole system was a lie and that it was built on lies. And you know, David, I would agree with you about everything you said, but I would emphasize one thing, that the whole reason that they are able, that the hegemony can do what they have done for 70 plus years is because of the power given to them by their wealth, by that the dollar. So the people across the world are not just waking up to the fact that the dollar has no value and that they are losing confidence in America to prop up the dollar. They are sick and tired of the agenda being driven by that wealth and that power. And they are fed up. When our foreign policy in this country drives, well, up until 10 years ago, I'd say, well, at least when Obama got in the office, when it drove the agenda across the world, they are sick and tired of that. And so they are naturally, as people do, they want to break free from that. And that's why we are seeing the pushback on the dollar and the fact that we are ourselves shooting ourselves in the foot. But that is why. And you're seeing it across the board. You're seeing, but there are also real and tangible things happening in across the world that are bringing pressure on the global economy. As an example, China is on the verge of financial collapse. China, because they have had a huge manufacturing sector, and now because of the supply chain issues and that kind of thing, they have shrunk. And they are scared to death that their people will starve. And so they are very concerned about, their own currency, their own wealth. And you have in Europe, you're seeing, wealth suicide in Europe when they decided to go after Russia along with the United States, they virtually, starve themselves because there is not enough gas to go into Europe. That affects manufacturing, that affects businesses. They're talking about having to close businesses. So there are tangible reasons why the global economy is beginning to suffer. And again, I go back to what we opened the show with World War III. All of those things require a distraction because the populaces of those individual countries will not stand for starving. They will not stand for the implosion of their individual societies. And so as a consequence, the people, as you put it, David, in the shadows will say, okay, we need a distraction. Here we go. So we have our own political theater here in the United States, but they have theirs in other countries as well, Mark.
Absolutely. And I guess the key here is that it's eventually going to come out. The question is, how long are people going to put up with it? I can't help but think, and maybe David and I disagree a bit on this. Yeah, the truth is coming out, but for the most part, we got a lot of people watching it, maybe saying, maybe Congress will do something. Maybe a savior will ride in from Washington on a white horse or New York City or somewhere and save us. Meanwhile, they sit there and they don't take action. They're staying in the cesspools. They're not protecting themselves against the economic meltdown that's coming. They don't even have the ability to put aside food or grow gardens or so forth. They're literally watching like deer in the headlights as the system comes apart and they don't get it. Hey, David, we got about 15 seconds. Take us out.
Take us out. You know, the truth will set us free, you know. Yeshua said, don't think I've come to bring peace but a sword. Truth divides the light from the darkness.
All right.
Well, let's stand on that principle.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot, Daniel. It was great talking with you again. And watch you all, folks.